This is East End Inc. Today we present a reading of Brave Journeys, 15 Border Crossing Stories. The book, a project of the Her Story Writers Workshop, contains stories in Spanish and English by young people ages 14 to 17 who risked their lives crossing borders. The program was recorded at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor in November 2018. Portions of the story were read both in English and Spanish. The reading began with an introduction by writer Sandra Dunn.
What I'm going to read for you today is a poem that I've written as part of a collection that I'm working on that focuses on borders, walls, divisions, metaphorical and literal. It's called La Hielera, which is translated as the icebox, or you'll hear it in a story that follows that Amber will read, can be translated as the cooler. It's a place that, it's a nickname that kids coming have given to a certain space that they are put in. La Hielera, the icebox. Your black spiked mohawk and fierce brown eyes disguise fears of things seen and unseen. Adolescence held hostage at the border. Swift adios to innocence when childhood's end begins in liminal spaces. Train, truck, raft, rails, road, river. Your stumble and trudge onto sands torched and arid, your young skin assaulted by sun scorch, your clothes wet and poor that you once again don for the forward march to a chance. Unleashed in these badlands, you don't bring a dream, but a whimper, a cry, a deep silent scream for a hint of compassion and a place to call home. You turn yourself in, manhandled with indifference, agents rolling their eyes at yet another child alone or child with a child. Younger sister or brother, same bleak story told, plot unfolding with every step of their cold, rigged process. Assembly line for kids who've crossed alone or with smaller others, forced to play leader in this endless trek. Inhospitable cell you label La Hielera, congelada compañera que te espera a este lado de la frontera de cristal. The icebox, frozen companion who awaits you on this side of the glassy border. Cold communal limbo, infinite shiver and sit. Locked in the icebox, you wait your turn at the leap of faith to alien airspace, crawling with lawyers and others steering you there and here, life as you know it undone in an instant. Calamitous crossing, portals unimaginable, from your perch inside what you once knew as home, beside your sister and mother. Tortillas, rice, and beans, staples you thought were forever and everywhere, food of the gods, until you're released into the heartland of golden arches and Burger Kings. Royals, you'll soon learn, exact a different tax and sacrifice. Heartland, La Hielera de America, where erosion of family and notions of home receive you with frigid embrace, sprung from one cold case to another, the tremble and shake. You stake your brave claim in this land of the free. Await your next court date. Interminable shuffle between timorous and bold. Black mohawk stiff bristled yet soft. Fierce eyes that hold history not to be told. And just so it's clear, the collection is... no story is attributed to any author. It's to protect the writers. Their names are not included.
The story that I'll be reading, it's called I Will Walk to the End. It all began in 2016 when my aunt asked if I wanted to come to the United States. It was hard for me to leave my family. Leaving my brother was the saddest thing because I couldn't say goodbye to him. When my sister dropped me off with the person I'd be traveling with, my entire life flooded my head. But I never imagined my life had been pretty. I had to drink some water so I wouldn't cry. When my sister left me in the hotel, that day, two other girls and I left for the border. We crossed the border of El Salvador, and in Guatemala, we rested one night. Then we continued until reaching Guatemala's border. There we stayed 3 weeks, and while I was there, I couldn't communicate with my aunt. A week went by without calling her because I had no reception. But by the weekend, the man who was bringing us lent me his cell phone. That's how I was able to talk with my aunt for about 15 minutes. From there, we left for Mexico. One person took care of me along the way. I'm grateful to her for taking care of me the whole time. There can be good people in the world that give everything for other people. After we arrived in Mexico, we passed through all the towns in Mexico. When we came to the river, we had to cross. One of the people that was with me couldn't cross because her sister hadn't paid, and so she stayed behind. Only I and the others with me crossed. After we crossed the river, we walked an hour until two immigration men found us. They asked us for our identification, and I was nervous because they told me that immigration men were angry. But they gave me chocolate cookies and apple juice, and then they took us to the cooler. That is a very ugly and cold place. They give people hard sandwiches and a juice. That place is freezing, and there's only aluminum foil, and with that foil, people cover up. Once there, they call people to take their fingerprints and name. Then they call the people to deport back to their countries. I spent 2 days there. Of the people who came with me, some had already gone to the doghouse, and others were in the cooler. They took me out of the cooler and put me in the doghouse and later sent me to a shelter, where I spent 17 days. In that shelter, I learned a lot about how people are. And on December 17th, I arrived in New York. When I got here, I felt as if I were on vacation. But when I started high school, it was very difficult because I didn't know how to speak English. But now I can handle English a little better and understand more.
El vacío que cargamos en el corazón. Nadie sabe la historia o el pasado de una persona. Vemos personas de diferentes países y culturas, pero realmente no sabemos qué han vivido, qué han experimentado o qué piensan o qué sienten. Vemos a niños, niñas, adolescentes, hombres, mujeres y ancianos, pero algo sí no podemos ver y sentir, lo que han vivido o lo que están viviendo.
The emptiness that we carry in our hearts. No one knows a person's story or their past. We see people from different countries and cultures, but we really don't know what they've lived through, what they've experienced, or what they think or feel. We see boys, girls, teenagers, men, women, and the elderly, but there's something we can't see or feel. What they've lived through, or what they're going through.
Pueden parecer personas normales que no han experimentado o vivido algo. Quizás esas personas que se miren normales pueden estar destrozadas, pueden estar tristes por algo que les ocurrió o que les está ocurriendo. Yo he de parecer que no he sufrido, que vivo con mamá y papá, porque realmente me lo han dicho muchas personas, pero realmente no es así. Solamente vivo con mi papá y con mi mamá y mis hermanos.
People might seem normal, like they haven't experienced or lived through something. Maybe those people that seem normal could be torn apart, could be sad because of something that happened or is happening to them. It might seem like I haven't suffered, that I live with my mom and dad because many people have told me that. But it's really not like that. I only live with my mom and brothers.
Yo amo a mi país, El Salvador. Es un lugar muy bonito, pero la delincuencia sigue aumentando. Estos grupos de jóvenes asesinan a quien quieren, mas no piensan en cómo las familias quedarán con ese vacío. Personas inocentes han sido asesinadas. Una víctima de asesinato fue mi padre.
I love my country of El Salvador. It's a very beautiful place. But crime keeps rising. These youth groups kill who they want without thinking about how these families are left with a void. Innocent people have been killed. A victim of these killings was my father. When he wasn't busy, we'd sit with him and ask him to tell us funny stories about when we were small. We'd laugh with him. One of the funny stories is when my brother went to see a movie called Dracula. My brother couldn't see horror films because he couldn't sleep later at night. In El Salvador, there are little mosquitoes called zancudos. The funny thing was, that same night he saw the movie, a mosquito bit him on the neck, and he started to cry and yell to my mom that Dracula had bitten him. How I remember those moments with my father. And when there were huge storms, there would be big puddles of water, and I couldn't cross them to go to school. My father would put on his boots and carry me and take me to school. For my brother, mom, and me, it was very difficult to deal with my father's death. I still feel I haven't totally dealt with it. My mom's birthday was on a Thursday, January 7th. We went out as a family, ate, and returned home. Saturday came. I remember it was morning. My dad was having breakfast, and I approached him and asked, "Dad, when are we going to the United States?" He replied, "Why do you want to go? You're fine here." "I want to see my brothers." "When you're older," he said. He then got up from the table and went to the store. My father was a construction worker. He built houses, doors, and more. He came back with materials like steel, brick, and cement, and also some things for the house like food and more. I remember very well the words he'd say to us, "Study, study, I don't want you to suffer like I did." I've held those words in my heart, and it's what I'll do. My father came back from the store. It was time to go to church. We got in the car and arrived. We left the church and came home. All of a sudden, my dad's phone rang. It was a man that wanted a favor, if my dad could pick him up and take him home. My dad was a very generous man. If he could, he'd do the favor. He said, "Yes, of course." It was already night and my dad hadn't returned. 8 o'clock struck and he hadn't appeared. My mom was very worried. She moved about in the living room, walked to the door and back to the table. I remember asking her, "Mom, what time is my dad coming?" She said, "I already called him and he's on his way." Later, I asked her the same question and she replied, "He'll be here in 5 minutes." "Okay." I was sitting at the table with the young woman who helped us in the house. It was 8:30 p.m. Suddenly, we heard shots, a lot of them. The bad men were already waiting for him. My mom, the young woman, and I ran. My mom says she heard when my dad yelled, "No, no, no." The truth is, I didn't hear anything. We went outside and looked around, but I didn't see him. My mom saw him and cried out, "My love!" I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I ran to where my dad was lying and began to scream like mad, "Dad! Dad!" My mom, completely unnerved, couldn't make a call. Her hands were shaking. The young woman who helped us also cried out, "Mr. Armando, don't leave us. You are strong. We need you. Mr. Armando, your children are here, and your wife, Miss Patty." My little brother was sleeping. I ran to his room with the young woman and told him, "Ariel, they shot Dad." He woke up scared and began to cry and say, "No, my dad, no." The police came and took him away. My mom went with him. My dad used glasses. They took them off. There were drops of blood on them. That night turned into the darkest night ever for me. More police came, and they started to investigate and put up yellow tape around the murder scene. The young woman, my brother, and I kneeled and prayed. I cried nonstop and prayed, "God, don't take my dad. Please." The young woman's phone rang, and my mom told her my dad had died. No one in the neighborhood could believe it. People were saying, "Don Armando was a good person. Why?" After what happened, you didn't see kids playing in the streets anymore. At 6 p.m., people were already locked in their homes. They'd say to us, "Go get some sleep. Lock yourselves in." Later, we went to bed. From the fear and anxiety that we felt, we slept together in the same bed, the young woman, my brother, and me. Lying in bed, I looked up and then turned my head towards the window and saw the sky without stars. It was dark, sad, just like me.
This is East End Inc. We're listening to a reading from Brave Journeys, 15 Border Crossing Stories, published by the Her Story Writers Workshop. The readers are members of OLA, the Latin American Organization of Eastern Long Island, and students in the Writers Workshop.
We will have a story now, another one, a short one from the collection, and Vivian Valoria Fisher will be reading that for us.
I'm going to read When the Heart and Mind Don't Agree. While I was playing with friends outside my grandmother's house, my aunt arrived. "It's your mother," she said, handing me the cell phone. In slow motion, I heard when my mom told me that in 2 days I'd be traveling to the United States. I was shocked by the news. I don't know what to say or think. I only stayed still with my mind blank. "Tell your dad," my mom said. When I was done talking to her, 1,000 thoughts came to mind. I tried to separate my emotions, but it was impossible. I was very hopeful about seeing the woman who gave birth to me, my mother, since I hadn't seen her since I was 3. It wasn't a decision I had to make. Since weeks before, many problems with crime had occurred and were getting worse. I tried to convince myself that everything would be fine, but the more I tried, the less my heart accepted it. I had to say goodbye to everything that made up my world. How do you leave the most important person from one day to the next? My dad, who took care of me for 14 years, wasn't just my dad anymore. He was also my mother, my friend. He'd become the most important person in my life, and I didn't want to leave him alone, but I had no choice. The day of the departure came too quickly. My dad, my brother, who was also coming with me on this trip, and I arrived at the hotel. We were both torn up inside. We didn't want to leave our country, much less our father. When it was time for our dad to leave us there, I could see the sadness in his face. "Take care of yourselves," he said as he hugged us. He left the room, and I tried to distract myself with the television, but I couldn't stop thinking about all I was leaving behind in my country. There's a saying that goes, "You can take a man out of his country, but you can't take a country from a man's heart." That's what's happening to me. Along with thousands of other immigrants who left their countries in search of a better life. That's how I came to say goodbye to great parts of my life. The day I left my country, I realized our souls are made of glass. As I looked at my country's streets one last time, I could hear inside how my soul and heart shattered to pieces.
Cada vez que miraba atrás, muchas personas juzgan sin saber ni conocer. No conocen historia o pensamientos, sensación, pasado o sentimientos, de la chica callada o del chico rebelde, de la niña inteligente o del niño que no se esfuerza. del distraído o del imperativo, del obediente o del desobediente, del delgado o del de sobrepeso, del feliz o del gruñón, del religioso o del no religioso.
Every time I look back, many people judge without knowing. They don't know the story or thoughts, the sensations, the past or feelings of the quiet girl or the rebel boy, of the smart girl or the boy who doesn't push himself, of the distracted or the hyperactive, of the obedient or the disobedient, of the skinny one or the one who's overweight, or the happy person or the grumpy one, of the religious or the non-religious.
Del de tatuajes o del de corbata, del nacido aquí o del inmigrante, del que come o del que no come, del superado o del fracasado, del loco o del cuerdo, del que toma o del que no toma, del que vive a casa o del que vive en la calle, del sano o del enfermo, del que ofende o del ofendido, del que fuma o del que no fuma.
Of the tattooed boy or the one wearing a tie, of the one born here or the immigrant, of the one who eats or the one who doesn't eat, of the successful one or the failure, of the crazy or the sane, of the one who drinks or the one who doesn't drink, of the one living at home or the one living on the streets, of the healthy or the sick, of the offending or the offended, of the smoker or the one who doesn't smoke.
Solo nos ponemos a hablar y no nos ponemos a pensar de cuáles son las razones de por qué actuamos de cierta manera. Nunca sabes qué tiene la vida destinada para ti. Tú quieres algo, pero el destino, Dios, la vida o como quieras llamarle, no quiere lo mismo. Piensas y quieres algo, te esfuerzas para obtenerlo y simplemente no se puede. El dolor más grande es sentir que te arrebatan lo que más quieres en la vida. Pensar que estarás toda la vida con las personas que te vieron crecer.
We just start to talk without thinking about why we act a certain way. You never know what life has in store for you. You want something, but destiny, God, or life, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't want the same thing. You think and want something. You work hard to obtain it, but you simply can't. The greatest pain in life is to feel that the thing you love the most is taken away from you, to think that you'll spend your whole life with the people who watched you grow. Before I left my home, so many things happened, some good, some bad, but all of them unforgettable. Every morning when I got out of bed, I'd look up with the same thought, live this day as if it were your last. I'd always leave the house saying, I love you, to my first love, to the person I always want to have close to me, my grandmother. To her, the woman I'd give my life for. The day came when God and my mother gave me the opportunity to be on earth, to see the sunrise and the sunset, but my heart didn't want that day to come. The day of my birthday, a common day, not interesting, a regular day of school, friends, family, a normal but happy day, knowing that I'd spent another year with the people I loved most. However, I spent the morning feeling something inside. What was it? I didn't know. I didn't give it much importance. Minutes later, the phone rang, an unexpected call at an unexpected moment. My cousin picked up, and the only things I saw were her strange looks toward me, facial expressions and words that I couldn't understand. The only thing I wanted at that moment was to know what was going on. Minutes later, my cousin ended the call, and the only thing she said to me was, "You're leaving. In an hour, you're leaving." I, very surprised, asked, "But where?" She only said, "With your mother." At that moment, a wave of emotions engulfed me. I felt mad, sad, desperate. With tears in my eyes, all I could say was that I didn't want to go. At that moment, I just wanted to disappear, for it all to be a joke or a dream. I then thought about my family and all that they'd done for me, my friends, my goals. Oh, God. Later, I walked and thought about what was going to happen with everything. Every step I took was a tear I shed. Every thought, every feeling. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted a car to run me over so I could stop feeling. Back at home, I got off my bed and I went towards my grandmother saying, "Please don't let me go." With tears in her eyes, she replied, "Hija, there is nothing I can do." With sorrow in my soul, I looked down. I didn't say another word. I just sat there in silence while the moment came. They say one of the hardest things in life is to say goodbye to the people you never thought you'd lose. The only words I said to them were that I love them and to never forget me or the love I felt for them. But I couldn't say it to everyone, all of my friends. I only hugged goodbye and said, alas, I love you, to my best friend. Luckily, she lived in the same block I did. She saw me crying and asked me why I was upset, why I was telling her that. I couldn't say anything more because they'd told me I couldn't say anything to anyone. We had to take a bus to the place where I'd meet my mom's cousin. He was also leaving that day, and I would go on my journey with him. I think I only met him once. My family told me that it was okay to go with him since they knew him, and besides, he was family. They knew him, not me. I barely knew his name. On the bus ride, I was thinking about the reasons a person has to leave everything behind to start a new life, and I asked myself, why do I have to go to live in a place where I don't want to live? My mom's cousin arrived. After a brief greeting, he told me to not be sad. Don't cry, he said. You're going to be with your mom. I simply remained silent because I knew if I talked, I would not say nice things. My eyes were filled with tears. I felt a huge knot in my throat and a great urge to scream. The moment to give the definitive goodbye had come. I felt as if I were living a scene in a movie or soap opera. I felt like when you're holding someone's hand and you are forced to let it go. They stay, you go. Everything fades to gray, darkness. Everything is silent and happening slowly. With every step I took, I looked back. Every time I looked, my family was farther and farther away from me. It seemed I was complete on the outside, but on the inside, I was in pieces. My heart was beating, only because it had to.
We heard a reading from Brave Journeys, stories by young people ages 14 to 17 who risked their lives crossing borders. The readers were Minerva Perez, Executive Director of OLA, the Latin American Organization of Eastern Long Island, Sandra Dunn and Pam Grenke of OLA, Vivian Valoria Fisher, and students in the Her Story Writers Workshop. Brave Journeys was published in 2018 by the Her Story Writers Workshop. Their website is herstorywriters.org. Some free literary events at Canyo's Cultural Cafe, 290 Main Street in Sag Harbor, include on Saturday, December 29th at 5 p.m., novelist Paul Batista reads from his new thriller, The Warriors. And on Friday, January 11th at 6 p.m., a book discussion of Faraway Brothers, Two Young Migrants and the Making of an American Life, sponsored by Racial Justice East End. And on Saturday, January the 26th at 4 p.m., Why Worry About the Birds? Thomas Merton's Ecological Vision, a presentation by Tom Petriano, Professor of Religion at St. Joseph's College. More events are listed at canyos.wordpress.com. East End Inc. programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst with the aid of Catherine Soka and Marianne Calendro. This is Hazel Kahn.